For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Take 12 if you want to run uncut. Yeah. Unapologetic from the jump. Yeah. And no politics in this club. Just dirt from the streets and the creeks in the mud. Take 12. Best podcast for the Seahawks. Number one sports talk. Yeah, we got it on live. Take 12. Every episode, 12 hot takes. And we repping for Seattle, my place. Take 12.
It's the Take 12 Podcast Super Bowl Extravaganza. On this episode, we fire up the microphones and Lofa takes us through his Super Bowl experience. We've talked about it here before on the show, but you know, there's some new things to uncover, and I have questions and natural curiosities and things like that. And then we walk through the other Seahawks Super Bowls also. Since why not? They're our team, and they've been there three times.
It's a therapy session. The two of you had therapy together.
Seahawks therapy session.
I don't know,
session.
Katie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, as Seahawk fans, couldn't we all use a bit? So commiserate with us and celebrate with us also.
Like the corner of my mind.
But before we do that, let me tell you about Wiener Schnitzel. Two locations in Western Washington, Everett and Fife. Go on in today. Do a little something different for lunch. Mention the Take 12 Podcast. Get a free hot dog with any other purchase, whether it's the corn dogs, the chili dogs, or anything off of their $3 meal menu. It's all good at Wiener Schnitzel, and we love them and appreciate them for their support. Go on in and support them. While you listen to our conversation, here it is. All right, hold on. Recording over there. Now let me record over here. He's already talking. I can't press record fast enough. What's the vibes today? It's Super Bowl vibes, man. Hey, oh, Lofa, you know a thing or two about the Super Bowl. Don't let me interrupt what you were saying. I had to press record. Keep going.
Oh, it was just, you know. I don't want to bring that energy into the show.
No, come on. You said you want to hear my best Super Bowl moment. I do.
Oh, well, first I said, fuck the Super Bowl. Then
I forgot about that part.
I've got a Super Bowl moment for you.
Okay.
The highlight of my Super Bowl, you know, I would say it was being named team captain, but the only reason I'm going to say that is because I got to shake Tom Brady's hand. How about that?
Boo.
I knew that would make you mad.
Boo. Boo. No.
Is that the MVP from the previous year gets to do the coin toss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Have you ever hung with Tom other than that or ever met him in other moments or just at the 50-yard line?
No, that was it.
Oh.
Grand opening, grand closing.
Well, never say never. But he's out there now.
But there could be a conspiracy theory, right?
Oh, I'm into those.
We could do one of those.
McNeil, you listening?
At that handshake, you seen Space Jam?
Sure.
Where the Monstars stole the power? Tom could have stolen my power.
Yeah, he might have. Maybe you were too starstruck out there.
I was coming off back-to-back national titles, going right into a Super Bowl. It was rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then, we went back to the divisional. That's cool. But
man, how many? So wait a minute. For him,
how many times you were? Done that?
That was. Wait a second.
He had three already.
That was. Yeah, I was gonna say because that was. He had 01 was his first one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh. And then 3 and 4.
What a chump.
And then he got four more.
Then more and then more and then more. Yeah. Oh. You have to have a better Super Bowl moment than that.
I really, nothing's coming to mind.
Oh, come on.
It was in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, not like LA or Phoenix or the Superdome like you dream about when you're growing up. It was in Detroit.
Well, they had a brand new stadium after all, and the bus was from there. Mm-hmm. Conspiracy theory.
I wasn't going to get to that conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy theory.
Because it's not a theory.
Oh, yeah? Oh, no, man. The big game. The big, big game. Yeah. Yeah, it's Super Bowl week, everybody. Welcome to the show. Do I do the opening? No, I do the opening at... Oh, yeah, we're already in the conversation. It feels like it's been 2 weeks since we talked, but we just talked last week. No, you can leave it in. It's fine. Lofa, it's Super Bowl week, man. I mean, you come on. You have to have memories of the game a bit, or was it all a blur? Take us through it. You've been in a Super Bowl. You're the only one here who has been. So you gotta bring us, shed some light on it for us a little bit.
Were we ever really in it, Brett?
Dude, you guys were so in it, bro. Are you kidding me? It was yours, yeah, and I know it's painful, and I know it's painful for a lot of Hawk fans. If you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to. But I never really expected to get the chance to really talk to someone who got to live it, and I'm interested in it. So that's why I have to ask questions.
It's everything you imagine, the build up, everything leading up to the game. It's a production, really. Mm-hmm. It's no longer football as you know it.
Like, yeah.
But it is all a blur to me, probably because I tried to like just put it away as far as I could. Right.
Well, can you take us through the game a little bit? Do you have any memories of the game itself? Like specific moments where, you thought, cause you guys were playing great. I mean, and you're obviously getting hosed. We know, man, but are there any moments that stick out from the game and the sidelines and kind of what you were going through and you remember moments with the guys or the coaches?
I was so in the moment, like, there were guys that weren't playing, were talking about it, you could hear it, but we were so in the moment that we were like, well, there ain't shit we can do about it, just play better and keep mm-hmm. going. Mm-hmm. So, we didn't have a moment on the sideline, we were like, oh, poor us, or
no.
We're getting screwed. You can't. And I think if we did, you would have saw them really separate. You would have saw the Steelers beat us by like in 20, 30 points. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when things like that go down. So I was proud of the guys. Like I said, the whole week was a blur. There's way too many meaningless conversations with the media.
Yeah.
Just when you're in the game, it seemed like even though it's the longest game you ever played, because, the intros leading up to it, you feel like you're waiting for 2 hours just to get to the first kickoff. And then halftime, right? Oh. And that's like a full-out stage. It's rolled out.
You guys were the Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones, yeah. Wow.
So, wow. I mean, and it was wild, but it was a production, right? It wasn't football like you know it. I feel like we were prepared. If we weren't prepared with how many things went wrong in that game, we would have got blown out. But it was 21-10, I think, was the final. They made some big plays when they needed to. Both offenses were kind of struggling. We moved the ball well, passing the boys. They did move the ball, just red zone struggles. We missed a couple field goals. But we were just hoping, hey, we get Josh that last chance, we know he'll come through. He always did. Like, there was nobody else I wanted with a game-deciding field goal than Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, I was just looking it up here. Yeah. It's interesting because I haven't, I was just thinking about it for myself because I remember where I was. I remember watching the game, obviously glued to the TV. And the game, the specific moments, I can remember specific plays, but I don't remember sort of the order that they took place in, So looking it up is sort of refreshing my memory. Yeah, man, it's just that was a
the play
going into halftime. It was that, yeah. Go seven, oh go ahead. Seven to three. Yeah.
Yeah. The play that stood out the most, you know, I know Willie Parker had the 75-yard run. That shouldn't happen.
In the third to open the third quarter, they scored in 10 seconds. Yeah.
After we threw a late interception, Hines Ward threw the reverse pass, or Randall L threw the reverse pass to Hines Ward for the touchdown. Mm-hmm. Hines got the MVP. I really felt like Randall, you know, no disrespect to Hines. I feel like Randall L deserved MVP of that game. If you go back, which I don't want to, and look at it, when Kelly Hernan picked off that interception and went 70 yards the other way, Randall L is in the middle of the fucking end zone. I'm talking probably 20 yards from the interception, and Kelly's going down the sideline. Randall just goes straight down the middle of the field and then intercepts the angle at a 45. And it's just one of the greatest plays that I think always gets overlooked. Maybe I'm happy it gets overlooked because I don't have to watch it every play. But I remember seeing that on the field live, and I was like, that's one of the greatest plays I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. The Seahawks, the stats, he outgained the Steelers in that game, 396 to 339, but it was just the 20 first downs to their 14. The offense was doing it, but obviously we know some key flags and just some bad calls.
What was the turnovers? What was the turnover ratio?
They had two. You guys had one officially.
Damn. Yeah. We won now.
And Big Ben didn't score.
Yeah. And well, that's what I was going to say. It's not just the flags. It's the, I mean, the ball is not over the goal line. It's like, it's not even
me and
Dede
Lewis made. I mean, Dede Lewis made the play of the game right there. Like me and Bus went head up, and Ben was behind him, and he fell, and Dede came over the top and hit Ben, and it's as close as it gets, you know. And that was at a time when the replay. Irrefutable evidence, right?
Yeah.
And they were so scared to overturn anything.
Yeah.
They weren't. They weren't overturning anything.
There's no way that touchdown stands in today's NFL. Not a chance. Not a chance.
What was Ben's stats? Give me his stat line.
Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger, 9 of 21 for 123 and 2 interceptions.
He didn't have a touchdown?
And then it doesn't have his – the quick stat line doesn't – let me see. I got to go to the full box where it doesn't have his rushing stats just listed because that's just on the side of the – hold on a second.
That's
he's got seven carries. He had 7 carries for 25 and then, of course, the 1 touchdown, which is debatable.
Mm.
Yeah. The bus only went for 43 on you guys. 14 carries for 43. Willie Parker.
I don't want to hear it.
No, that's a name I haven't thought of in a while either, by the way. Wow. Sean, though, 20 carries for 95. Haas, 26
Wait,
of...
Like Haas, and a half?
Haas almost threw the ball 50 times. 49 attempts.
Is that 4.5 a carry for Sean?
4.8. With
Run
a long of 21. Who was the leading receiver for the Seahawks, McNeil? Trivia. Who was the leading receiver?
Jack.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear Lofa, but I'm going to guess. I'm not going to guess wrong, so I'm not guessing.
Come on. You got to give us a guess.
Bobby Engram.
Okay. Lofa, who'd you say?
Had to be D-Jack. I felt like we'd thrown the ball like 10 times.
Any other guesses? Anyone else in the room? Any guesses that the leading Seahawks wide receiver yardage-wise?
The only other possibility is Joey J. I know he had a long one.
Well, Bobby Engram had 6 receptions, however, did not finish with the most yards. Joe Jerovicius, 5 receptions for 93 on the day.
Joey was a beast.
It's an interesting little trivia thing there. How about our man Lofa? You guys want to guess how many tackles in the game?
14. No.
14 from McNeil. Lofa, do you remember?
6.
Katie, you got a guess?
12.
9. 6 of them solo. Yeah. And then they got you for a PD. Is that pass defended?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about that one. I was supposed to be in the deep middle of the field in my defense, literally.
in your defense and your defense?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, pun intended. And they threw, it was a stick route, and three went to the flat. And it was like, when you're the middle linebacker, you have deep middle and cover two, you're just supposed to get your ass back. That's the curl players. And Leroy was right there. But I believe it was like a second and 10 or third and 10. Third quarter, we were facing that side. Yeah, it was third quarter. And I jumped it because I was like, well, I have no other threat deep. Two and three went out. One goes vertical. He goes to the safety. So just animal instinct, I jumped it. And then I looked back at Ben. I was like, he's not going to throw this. And then he looked at me, and he was like, I'm going to throw this. And he fucking threw it. And so last second, instead of jumping in front, which I had done, same route I picked in Philly, I batted it. And Leroy almost caught the deflection. I thought he did because I couldn't see behind the – I think it was Jeremy Tooman was the tight end. But, yeah, I still think about that fucking play.
I thought you didn't want to talk about it.
I think I had to.
Yo, how about some linebacker play in that game, though? I mean, you got 9 tackles, 6 solo. Leroy Hill – and, by the way, leading tackler on the team – in total tackles, Lofa in that game. And then Leroy right behind you with 8 total tackles, 7 of them solo. How about your linebackers, McNeil, in that game? Come on, right?
They're going crazy. We've had but really good linebackers forever, it seems like.
Absolutely. And then Bulware. Bulware also is on there, man. What else?
Our linebacker tried to tackle Bo Jackson on the goal line in the 90s.
That's true. Did they, though? I don't know if they did. I don't know. Work on your references there a little bit. Let's see here. Sacks. Anybody get a sack that you remember, Lofa? Oh, yeah. There was one.
Grant Wistrom?
Yep. One sack of Ben that day. Anyway. Super Bowl, man, you know? Super Bowl.
Fucking super, man.
The big game, man. The big, big game. Yeah. That's the thing. You look at this website here, and it doesn't show the full story, you know? And you rarely get the full story when any of these big games are decided, really. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let's go to it then. What was the penalties for?
I don't even know if it's listed on. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to. I'm just on ESPN.
They scrubbed it, huh? They scrubbed it. It never happened.
I don't know.
I'll find it while y'all continue.
Yeah, McNeil, you get into it there. He'll figure it out. I mean, the full play-by-play is here, but would that show flags and stuff? Maybe.
You know what the worst part about it all? Huh. Obviously, other than not getting a ring, not getting a parade. But when people introduce you now, it's like, because I go to like these events. Uh-huh. And, you know, they'll say Pro Bowl, All Pro, Super Bowl participant. Can't you just call me an NFC champion?
Come on.
Yeah. Participant?
No, I wouldn't do that to you. No, if I had the mic, I wouldn't do that. No.
Oh, it's happened.
No, I
wouldn't. Are you ready?
Okay, yep.
Steelers were penalized 3 times.
Oh, come on.
That's the first one. And then the Seahawks for 7.
Okay. How many yards for them?
The website doesn't say yards, but I do remember 2 crucial DPI calls that were some BS. Mm-hmm. And then there's a video on the Seahawks YouTube channel that says top 10 controversial calls in the Super Bowl, which means there was 10 bad calls, according to the franchise.
Yeah. Well, the NFL Network has that show Top 10, and they used to have top 10 bad calls, and I think like number 1 or at least number 2 was just the entire Super Bowl that Lofa played in was always listed on NFL Network as just the, not like one bad call, just that whole game was just a bad call. It's just so, and it felt so Seattle, man. I got to tell you, like being a fan my whole life and you had just gotten there, but to have that happen to my team It felt just so Seattle. It was like it couldn't have gone any other way against you guys. You were doomed just by the city you hailed from. I mean, I'm sorry. It's the way it goes up there sometimes.
The only one that I really had issue with, I get the D-Jack push off. They were both, you know, jostling back and forth, what have you.
Yeah.
The offsides, there's two actually, now that I think about it. The offsides that they didn't call when they called Locklear for holding and Hass hit Jeremy Stevens down to like the 2 or 3 yard line.
Yeah.
They called Locklear for holding. The nose, Hampton, and Hagans, the DN, were both offsides. And so that's what we thought the flag was for. We're like, all right, yeah, decline it. And then they started marching us backwards. We're like, what the fuck? And then I think a play or two later, Hass throws the pick, and he makes one of the greatest tackles I've ever seen in Super Bowl history. He goes through a guy around the thigh boards, you know,
to get the guy
that's, you know, on the sideline. And it was amazing. And then they start marching off another 15 because they call a block below the waist.
Oh, yes, that's right.
It was just, and then like a play or two later, the reverse touchdown happened. But
yeah, oh, that's right. Those block.
Those are two that were.
Sorry. Yeah. The block below the waist. Yeah, and the fact they even called it a block. It's a tackle. It's not even calling it what it was. Calling a quarter.
It was a beautiful tackle, too.
Can you imagine if they threw a flag on Patrick Mahomes for making a tackle after he throws an interception?
I was really proud of Hass, man. That was a beautiful tackle.
Yeah, it was.
If he misses that, that's 7 right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Well, anyway. How about some epicseats.com? Epicseats.com, everybody? Or should we move on to talk about the new Super Bowl? Or yeah,
more of a want to get away moment with the energy we were just displaying.
Okay, let's go Delta.
Delta.com.
Delta.com. Everybody want to get away? Yeah, you know what, man? Like, I know. Look, I didn't play in the game. I know you feel how you feel about it, and whatever. I have to tell you though, from a fan perspective, It is painful, and it can suck to think about sometimes and all of the above. But at the same time, it is, and I've told you this before off mic, I'll tell you on mic, it's what launched the Seahawks to what they are now. It brought the city behind that whole team in a way that the city had never been behind that team before. I mean, you guys, like, what you guys did and really kicked off in our city, no matter how much it might be painful to look back at that, I think the real ones really understand, you know, what you guys gave us. And I think we'll always be grateful for that, man. So I know it's painful, but, and it is for us too, but also we kind of have to laugh after a while. Cause for us, it is just very Seattle, you know, for you guys, I understand you can't laugh, but for us, it's just, yeah.
2013 helped you could a lot. Do about it.
Right. 2013 did help a lot for the, well, 2013 helped a lot for the fans, for sure. And I think, look, the NFL understood, man. They hiked that ball squarely over Peyton's head. They were like, look, we're going to just give this one to Seattle right away. Here you go. Cliff Averill.
That kickoff return was the best play I've watched live ever.
Yeah, man, totally. Wait, hold on. You know what? Let's talk about good Super Bowl times. But yeah. I did start telling you about Delta, so let's finish that up. Delta.com, everybody, is the only airline we fly around here. They are the best. They're always on time, most of the time. You know, I don't think I can say always legally. I don't want their lawyers coming after me, but they're on the time most of the time, and they're very comfortable, and they're amazing. Yeah. Sign up for 12 status. Get ready for next year. Because the Seahawks, anytime they throw for a yard, you get an extra mile. So make sure you're signed up for 12 status, and it's delta.com, everybody. You know, McNeil, you bring it up, but I wanted to talk about other Super Bowls since it is Super Bowl week, and our team has been 3 times, and no matter how joyful or painful it is, we're all fans. Let's talk about it. So then they go again, Lofa, and where were you for that one? Against
Peyton. I was
in
Costa Rica, a buddy's bachelor party.
Wow.
Just drinking beers, beautiful weather, and the Hawks rolling.
Yes.
I mean, it was total 180 from Detroit. From the first snap. From the first snap, you knew shit was on. It was incredible. And then you got one of the best offenses at the time, the best offense the league had ever seen with Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
And you got one of the best defenses. This was their second year in a row being number one, which they would go on to be number one for two more years. Wow. Four total. Hadn't been done since the 60s Browns or some shit.
Yeah.
It was everything that, you know, Hawk fans expected and wanted.
Yeah.
And my favorite play, because we were just talking about that.
Yeah, go for it.
Either has to be, you know, Cam just destroying the receiver across the middle, you know, setting the tone.
Yeah.
Or Malcolm, phenomenal, phenomenal linebacker, you know, winning the MVP. That pick and taking it 70 yards the other way was insane.
Yeah.
That was pretty scary. I was like, whoa.
What a day. I mean, you talk about now everything I said about being a Seahawks fan. So going into the game, nervous as hell. Just, I know we're going to get screwed somehow. This has happened before. We're going against the golden boy, Peyton. He just moved over to Denver. The conspiracy theories for me were running wild. I just knew we were going to get it handed to us somehow. And when that snap went over his head, I it's not that I relaxed all the way, but man, it felt good. And then when they were up, 26-0 at some point, we were cruising. And then McNeil, the second half kickoff, so then that was 22-0?
It was 22-0.
29?
And they tried to kick it away from Percy, but it ended up bouncing right to his face. And it dragged all of the defenders into the middle of the field, so he had all of the space, too.
Oh, man. So when did you, McNeil, when did you, I have some Seahawks buddies, we always talk about this, like, that Super Bowl, because, dude, I was nervous even through the third quarter. But I just thought, just as a Seahawks fan, like, I just thought, you know, is that what it was? Yeah, after Percy's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about where I relaxed a little bit as well. But even then, I thought, you know, it's Peyton, you just never know.
Right, yeah.
But the Legion of Boom wasn't going to let that happen.
Peyton to sit there and be like, dang, I guess the game's over.
Yeah. It has to be, I think, though, even with what the offense did or what how many points the Seahawks put up and all of that, defensively, Lofa, for me, it's got to be one of the best defensive performances in Super Bowl history, if not the best defensive performance in Super Bowl history, even with the botched snap. I mean, the rest of the game, that defense was just lights out.
8 points.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were the show.
The defense scored 9 points themselves.
Oh, that's right. That was my favorite thing to say after that game, is that the defense beat Peyton by themselves anyway.
You just took the defensive scores.
Yes.
You beat them 9-8.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's crazy.
That's where I thought it was a little carried away. You know, end of 12, Russell played out of his mind. Offense scored like 50 points four straight weeks. It had never been done. And then 13, he was rolling. But you have to remember, what got him there was Marshawn Lynch and the number one defense.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
That NFC Championship game was wild, the first one.
The San Fran?
The San Francisco one.
My mom and I were at Buffalo Wild Wings, and there was no space to breathe, but we were all going crazy for like 7 hours after that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that
I
was...
I don't remember where I was.
Dude, that whole run through that playoffs, the tip... Because the tip... There was another tip before the tip. Don't forget, there was another tip. There were two tips that season. That was just incredible. That team was incredible. They were always in the right place at the right time. The way that defense, the way that they would tip it to each other on purpose, just because they knew. It was like they were playing hockey. Like, where they got, you know how like hockey players will just flip it behind themselves because they know their player's there? Like, that defense was just, never seen anything like it.
That was,
I don't think we ever will
Malcolm
again.
Malcolm Smith again.
Yeah. Oh, that's, yeah, same guy. That's right.
Yeah. Good things happen, kids, when you run to the ball.
Wow.
It's my Patches O'Houlihan.
What a game.
Do you think a first round bye is really important for playoff teams?
Yeah, absolutely. That 1 week of rest and how much more energy and how fresh you are getting out there. We had it my first year, and then my next 2 years, and even my sixth year, we had home games to start All-Star or Wild Card weekend, and then we went on the road for both divisionals, all three divisionals, and it was just night and day. You could tell, you know, how good they were. They were just ready to go. And you're on fumes, man. You haven't had a bye, depending on when the bye is. One of the times we had in like week five. So it's like 14 straight weeks.
The defense was lights out, but the way that the offense was doing it and who they were doing it with, and we've talked about this 1,000 times, but like Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse just both being undrafted beasts. I mean, who wins the Super Bowl with both your starting wide receivers being undrafted? That's just unheard of.
Well, I mean, we still had Sid. Sid hurt for that game?
No, I don't know if he was hurt, but he was on that team. Yeah.
He was on the team because those were our two big acquisitions. They were both from the Vikings.
And Percy, yeah.
Sid and Purse. And, but, yeah, the roles that Kearse, because Kearse and Baldwin were still on, like, every special team. I mean, they're absolute savages because that's a lot to ask from a rookie receiver, both of them, and to also step in. Actually, it was Kearse's rookie year. It was Baldwin's second year.
They both had a touchdown in that game, didn't they?
Really, both of them, really nice touchdowns, yeah. Kearse had a catch, and I think it was like a 18 or 20-yarder that he made like three people miss a tackle.
That was the one where he could really breathe.
The spin cyclone?
Yeah.
One? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was wild.
Dude, amazing. And then, you know, confetti coming down, and it just what a relief. I remember my best Seahawk buddy and I, we taped the game while it was on. And then the next day after we had won, then that same buddy came back over, and we rewatched the tape.
That's pretty cool.
And ate dinner. We went 2 days in a row. Let's watch it again. And it was just as fun the second time. That snap goes over his head, and we were just enjoying ourselves the best. And then of course, the next year, which if we're going to talk Super Bowls, we got to go through it a little bit, I think, just because you want to talk NFC Championship games. I mean, the San Francisco one was amazing, but that comeback against Green Bay might have been one of the greatest football games of all time. If the Super Bowl goes the other way, I think it really does get that boost. It kind of gets overshadowed because of what happened in the next game, but that comeback is ridiculous. And the John Ryan throw, Russell crying. I mean, he threw five interceptions or something.
Four or five.
Four.
Something like that, yeah.
And all those interceptions were going Jermaine Kearse's way, but also, and then he's the hero at the end. And that game was ridiculous. Where were you for that one, McNeil?
So for that one, I was at my mom's friend's house. And when Jermaine scored that touchdown, I spilled beer everywhere on accident. Not my own beer, but I kicked it on accident. I was 14. But my funny Super Bowl thing is, after the first one, I told myself, oh, I can't make it to the parade, but I'll go to the next one.
Oh.
And then we make it back to the Super Bowl the next year.
Yeah. Then they're on the goal line. You're checking your schedule. Yeah. Well, can't come into work tomorrow. Oh, no.
Yeah, that was rough.
Lofa, where were you for both of those games, really? The Packers, because the Packers game was incredible, but then, of course, there's the Super Bowl also.
Yeah, I was just back home in Massachusetts. We had moved back there in 12 when I signed with the Falcons. So I was just back home, and I told my friend when the Green Bay game was happening, I go, I guarantee you they come back and win this game. Mm. And they did. And just all the events that led up to it, John Ryan throwing that touchdown pass, Russell marching them down, the two-point conversion just to tie or go up by three, Aaron Rodgers marching them right back down in 20 seconds, kicking a field goal to force overtime. The onside kick that we had to get.
Yes. Yes.
It's just so much had to go in their favor.
Yeah.
But that's it's got to be Pete's favorite game out of all. I mean, the Super Bowl, of course, hoisting the trophy and everything. But that is what he preached. You know, just no matter how ugly it gets, keep believing that you're going to win. So I bet you if you asked him, he would point to that one as one of his favorite games Man, to have coached.
That script was amazing. That was just, I mean, they wrote an all-time episode on that game. That was just incredible.
It was wild, man.
That was wild. It's funny. So the TV show that I was on MTV, MTV's awkward, when I did high school for a second time, we used to shoot on the weekends at a real high school because the kids wouldn't be there because it's on the weekend. So our schedule was such that we always worked on the weekend, which meant I always worked during football games. And the Packers championship game was no different, and it was terrible. So where was I? I can point to TV show episodes that are on TV, they're on MTV, and if you and I watched together, I could be like, this was the day. The Packers are on in the background. And we had the game on, you know, some crew guys like had it on a laptop or whatever, and I kept running over and checking. And of course, Russell's just throwing pick after pick, and I'm just like feeling helpless, and I'm at work, and I'm trying to like pretend like I'm a sophomore in high school, and it's just, the whole thing's a mess. And then of course they start coming back, and my other buddy on the show is a big Seahawk fan, and so I knew they were kind of coming back, and I was keeping tabs, but then we're in the middle of shooting a scene where I was away from the screen for a while, and then that's when they won. And my buddy, I didn't see it happen, but my buddy comes running into the room. The door bursts open. We're in the middle of a take. Like, we're shooting the show. And he just opens the door. He goes, they won! No way! And I go running over. And then we ran to each other and jumped midair to do the, like, chest bump thing midair. And he's way bigger than I am. And I go flying. I damn near, like, broke my elbow. Like, it was insane. Yeah, that's where I was. And then for the Super Bowl, we begged to get off of work because it was on a Sunday. And we're like, please just shoot any other scene. Please. And there's a scene in the show that season where all the girl characters were playing in a Powder Puff football game at the high school, all the characters. And so they said, yeah, we'll shoot that scene the day of Super Bowl Sunday because you guys aren't in that scene because it's all the girls. And we're like, all right, great. So they shot a football scene on Super Bowl Sunday so that we could go watch the football game. Anyway, yeah. And then there was the Super Bowl. I mean, there was the Super Bowl.
Chris Matthews.
Yeah.
Chris Matthews, a beast.
That touchdown he had, I was like, whoa, we have ourselves a 6'5", like baller.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Does anyone want to talk about the Super Bowl, or should we just move on right past it?
Just move on. Yeah.
The thing that bums me out about it the most is that obviously I'll just, you know, I have to say it. The thing that bothers me the most about it is that Packers game, because it almost like, because those two games back to back, we all know if they seal the deal, if they do, I don't care if they run it, throw it, if Russell does a magic trick and appears in the end zone, I don't care how they score, if they score there and they seal the deal, those are the two greatest football games back-to-back I think that anyone would have ever seen.
Agreed.
The catch that Jermaine Kearse had to set them up, to get them down there.
Unreal.
Forget David Tyree's catch. Anyway, oh well. Fine. I'll be fine. McNeil doesn't even want to talk about it. It's that painful. Maybe someday.
Well, I had a surgery the next day too.
Oh gosh. So, yeah, let's not talk about it. It's too soon.
We started
still.
The show on a real downer. Brought it back up. Let's stay up.
All right.
Let's talk Mariners.
You know what? We've been stalling long enough. Before we get into the real Super Bowl and give you our predictions, we have to talk about some breaking news with our Seahawks. There's a new era. Whoever's going to take us to the next Super Bowl might be here now. Lofa, got to get your take on Mike McDonald. Not the singer from the Doobie Brothers. I had to look that up. Oh, wait a minute. You mean that guy?
Yeah.
But no, it's the young whiz kid on defense. He's a defensive guy. What are your thoughts?
I mean, big news. That's a big get.
Yeah.
We are no longer coachless in Seattle. So that's been fun to do radio interviews lately. Not projecting who it could be, but what he did in Baltimore. I know it's a small sample size, but you lead the league in takeaways, points, and scoring.
Yeah.
It's never been done in the modern era of football. So I'm excited because what we need work on is the defensive side of the ball. So I know everybody would be like, oh, let's go offense, because you see all these offense coordinators getting hired, and then there is like a stat kind of skewed in terms of playoff wins by an offensive head coach and a defense. You can either lead or you can't. And this man can lead. He's shown that he can lead. And so I'm excited to see who he adds to his staff. I think that's probably the most difficult part of being a first-time head coach is, but you have both Harbaughs to lean on in terms of hiring. You know, he worked for both of them for several years.
I think
has a good relationship.
They just hired a Harbaugh.
See, there you go.
Yeah, they hired Jay Harbaugh, the son Harbaugh.
There you go.
One of their kids. Yeah. Who's got it better than Jay Harbaugh?
Exactly.
Nobody. So they're going to bring some of that energy to the Seahawks. I'm for it, man. I like the hire. The NFL is changing all the time. I don't think anyone can predict this versus that or whatever. Like offensive coach, defensive coach, who cares? Win. So I'm down for a new attitude. I think we talked about on this show that the names are there. The players are there, we think. On paper, this roster is stacked, especially on defense. So if he can come in and have a bunch of ideas of how to put these players in the right place, that's what your coach is supposed to do, right? And so if the majority of your players are over there, it stands to reason you'd go with a coach that's a bit over there a little. And they can hire an offensive guy, right? McNeil, who do you want them to hire as a coordinator? I think that's offensive side of the ball. That's the real question.
There's two names I think would be really cool is Bieniemy and then Grubb. If we could steal Grubb from the trader Kalen DeBoer, it would just be closure.
For you, I guess.
He's also a good OC.
Yeah, no,
he's not hurt. Yeah, he's not hurt at all.
He's a good offensive coordinator. Or Bieniemy too. Hey, what about Bieniemy though? Bieniemy, that's a name that everyone's throwing around. Last offseason, he didn't get hired as a head coach anywhere. Now this offseason, he didn't get hired again as a head coach, but seems like it would be a great hire. I'd be all for that one.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, he went over there and put up some serious numbers with Hal. Hal was the leading passer for much of the season until the very end. Bieniemy, he has a good offense. He's had one in Kansas City and ran one over there, and he called the plays finally for the Commanders. So he looked like he's got what it takes, you know, a good offensive mind. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of time. He'll get his chance, man. These things are so crazy. And it's like coaches just get recycled. Like one guy, I was a coordinator here, and now I'm a coordinator over here. Like you get the chance to head coach, and then you'll bounce back down to coordinator. Like it is very hard to keep consistency, and you have to win. You win, and that'll keep the structure in the team. And even then, when you win too much, you get pillaged. Your coaching staff gets pillaged for all these new up and coming names.
Yeah.
So it's tough, man. It really is.
What do you think about these new head coaches and the kit, the drip, the style? He came to the press conference in a hoodie and Jordans, which he's us. I love it. But also, we're in a new era, aren't we? These coaches now. I mean, we're both wearing hoodies, so why can't they? But I'm just pointing it out.
Hey, man, just be yourself.
Yeah, I like it.
It's the only way you're gonna succeed in this league.
Seems like the new guys... It's like the new uniform out there, though, isn't it? Joggers and a hoodie. Show off the ankles.
I haven't kept up with the fashion that much.
No, you look like you're fitting right in.
No, it's just a hoodie.
Okay. Katie, no suit at the press conference. Hoodie and Jordans.
I love it.
You like it?
Love it.
All right. Okay.
He coached one of our players in 21. It's Mike Morris.
Yeah, in Michigan.
He was at the introductory, like, thingy, whatever.
Cool.
The thingy.
The thing where he was wearing the Jordans. Neil. You know.
It's like when he walked into the big room and they're all like, woo.
Does he keep the basketball hoop?
Yeah, he better.
Or else what? You go down there with a torch?
How are you not sure that Pete didn't take it with him?
Well, Pete's still in the building, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Hey, what about the Super Bowl that we're going to play? They're going to play in a minute here. Let's talk about that. EpicSeats.com. They probably got seats to the Super Bowl. Or if you have Super Bowl seats and you want to sell, you can do it with EpicSeats.com, everybody. Mention Take 12 and receive an extra $12 when you receive an extra $12 per ticket that you sell with them, or get 12% off when you spend $100. It's epicseats.com, everybody. We talked a lot about it on the last episode. We'll touch on it in this episode. We're a Seahawks podcast, so that's why we talk mostly Seahawks. But the Chiefs and the Niners are going to play a game to determine which one of them gets a trophy. And then we all have to suffer with one of them being the Super Bowl champion. I'm rooting more for the players in this one than I am for the teams, I have to be honest. There's a couple players on both teams that I actually like and root for, even some Niners, no matter how gross that is. But I can't really root for either team, Lofa, but you can tell us what's going to happen.
Mahomes gets his third ring. Boom. Done.
Go Clyde Bills.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're going to win this one, and not just because of Taylor Swift, but because of Taylor Swift and State Farm.
And Pfizer.
Yeah. And
or it could be the new Madden jinx. We'll see.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. All right. You got a final score prediction on this thing?
31-27, Chiefs.
Ooh. That's a good game.
He's played his best in the biggest games. And the Niners have to play perfect. And what does that mean? Hand the ball off to McCaffrey. And Purdy doesn't have to be perfect. He just can't turn the ball over. That's how you beat these guys. Because that is a tough defense that the Chiefs have. For the first several years, first three or four, it was all on Mahomes' arm. It's a well-balanced team, and I don't think the Chiefs defense is getting enough credit for what they did, you know, on the road against Josh Allen, on the road against Lamar. It's going to be a tough day out there. But points, I think points will be, you got to score points to keep up with these guys.
How many roughing the passer calls will Mahomes get in his favor?
Three.
Oh. Three, that's a lot. Man.
Lofa, when was the last repeating champion, if there is one?
The Patriots. I think three and four.
It would have been the Seahawks.
Oh, interesting. Vegas, too. It's going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
You guys, producer Katie's telling me, wrap it. I'm going.
Yeah.
It was a nice
therapy. We got for MVP.
There's the
I got Kelsey
song.
For MVP.
There's the theme song. You got Kelsey for MVP?
Yep.
They might, well, he's going to have at least one, but he's going to have two. Unless he has just a ton of yards.
He's going to get it all.
One TD and 120 plus, they might give it to him. He's got to have like six or seven receptions and a big one that changes the game. Otherwise, they give it straight to Mahomes. The one reason they could give it to Kelsey is so they get Tay-Tay down on the field, because you know they want her down there. They're going to have Taylor Cam. Will she make it? Won't she make it?
I got 8 receptions, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. Boom.
Oh, you guys told me to. I wrote this down because you guys told me to bring this up. You guys, everybody listening, watch for Mahomes getting the roughing calls because his helmet is so loose and sits so high on his head that it looks like his helmet snaps back even when it barely gets touched. I think he does it on purpose to get those calls. And by the way, good for him. That's called playing the game, Holmes.
Savvy vet.
It's called playing the games, Mahomes.
His helmet is tall. It's like 2 feet tall.
Yeah, he does. I'm telling you, he does that on purpose so that it flops around and it looks like he gets hit harder. He does take some shots, though. He's a tough guy.
Tough kid.
But the optics on it help get those flags. And good for him. I'd do it, too. Maybe Purdy should loosen that thing up.
How are we feeling about Usher?
Somebody, we have someone on just cutting out stuff all the time, right? Okay, good. I'm excited for Usher. I don't really. It kind of like made me raise an eyebrow when I heard it. I was like, huh, really? Because it's not, it doesn't scream Vegas or anything. Like, it sort of is non-contextual a little, but. That's the part where Lofa gets up and goes, gets another Stromboli, though, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I watch the commercials. I look for commercials.
Yeah. You guys can watch the commercials, too. Email us. Which one's your favorite? Seahawkspod@gmail.com. Hey, that's it for us, everybody. Thanks to Wiener Schnitzel. Thanks to Delta. Thanks to Epic Seats. Simply Seattle, Pack Back, all of that. Enjoy the big game, and we will be back next week to tell you what we thought of everything that happened and all the penalties and all the shots of Taylor Swift and all of the controversy or whatever, or the power going out, or the bets coming in, whatever. We'll be here to talk about it all. Break us down, Lofa.
You got it, partner.
Katie? Huh? I don't know.
McNeil, what do you got?
Old Mike McDonald. Oh, new coach on three, new coach on me. 1, 2, 3. Mike McDonald, the new coach. Yay!
New coach.
Woo! Yay! We're excited.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.